I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's the Kelly Show tonight. Me, Megyn Kelly, Julie Kelly. We do have one guest on who's not named Kelly. I don't know why we did that. But it's going to be a show about COVID communism, what's going on with Tucker Carlson, a light in the mood that's going to get us in trouble. All that's coming up tonight on I'm Right. Tucker. Obviously, he's on everyone's mind these days. What happened? Where's he going next? My phone is freaking melting. Everybody texting me, what's he doing? So let me clarify something. Tucker's a friend. I'm not going to come on here and have anonymous leaks talked about on the show. I'm not going to come on here and speculate about anything. He's a friend. He's a critical, probably the most critical voice on the right now in the United States of America, much more critical than any politician. He has a video out, everyone's watching it, where he's, well, here he is.
Our current orthodoxies won't last. They're brain dead. Nobody actually believes them. Hardly anyone's life is improved by them. This moment is too inherently ridiculous to continue, and so it won't. The people in charge know this. That's why they're hysterical and aggressive. They're afraid. They've given up persuasion. They're resorting to force. But it won't work. When honest people say what's true, calmly and without embarrassment, they become powerful. At the same time, the liars who've been trying to silence them shrink, and they become weaker. That's the iron law of the universe. True things prevail. Where can you still find Americans saying true things? There aren't many places left, but there are some, and that's enough. As long as you can hear the words, there is hope. See you soon.
Pretty good, right? Like I said, an important voice. We like to think that's part of the reason this show has been as successful as it has. Now, speaking of truth tellers, Megyn Kelly just abused Keith Olbermann.
Even Keith Olbermann was saying similar things, comparing Tucker to a Nazi. He also, for good measure, decided to tweet about me because I said Tucker's going to be better off without Fox, and said something to the effect of, you got fired from Fox and NBC, what would you know about it? So first of all, you misstate the circumstances of my departure from NBC, sir. That's all I'm allowed to say about it. And as for Fox, there were widely reported facts that I was offered $100 million to stay there. But the record's very clear that I left voluntarily because I wanted to raise my family, something you don't know anything about, because no one would marry you and you have no children. You have a cold, lonely life in which you become a bitter, bitter man, something I wouldn't know anything about because my life is joyful and I've managed to raise my own children. And someday, I hope you have that pleasure, but I don't have high hopes it's going to happen.
That's one of the most vicious things I've ever seen. Joining me now, I love her, Megyn Kelly. She is, of course, a journalist, host of The Megyn Kelly Show, which is on SiriusXM Triumph Channel 111 every weekday at noon. You can find her at youtube.com/Megyn Kelly. Also, probably need to add to that, soon-to-be convicted murderer. Megyn, that was brutal.
Brother Kelly, it's so good to see you. You know, there wasn't a more deserving man in media. Normally, I'm not that mean, Jesse, but he deserves it. He just deserves it. All he does is spew invective. He set me off a couple months ago because one of the few women who ever agreed to date him was a woman who's at MSNBC right now named Katie Turr. And he goes on his show and just absolutely reveals every secret of his relationship with her, any favor he ever did for her. He just has absolutely no class, and as I demonstrated, no connection with the truth.
Megyn, before we get to some Tucker stuff, which you've been breaking down, I actually want to ask you about Olbermann, and maybe media in general. You obviously have a wonderful life, but I'm pretty new to this. I've only been doing this for 5 years, and I can't believe how many basket cases there are in this business. I mean, as a child, I watched Keith Olbermann bring me SportsCenter, and I laughed, and my buddies would go around, and we'd laugh about the highlights. And now this guy is a nutball who tries to chirp at me all the time. Was he always a nutball? Is it the media industry that turns people into nutballs?
I do think it attracts more than its fair share of nutballs right from the get-go. And then it adds fuel to the fire. Being on camera, getting a big ego, getting a big paycheck, it can be very corrupting if you're not like a strong person with solid values going into it. I mean, I remember I was at Fox back in the days where O'Reilly and Olbermann were warring every week. It was so nasty between the two of them. And I talked to Bill one time and I said, would you ever go to MSNBC, you know, like if Fox didn't do right by you? And he said, sure, I'd go there. And I said, they'd have to fire Olbermann first. And he said, they'd have to set him on fire. that's our industry.
Okay, speaking of our industry, you've been breaking down the Tucker stuff a lot, and you probably have a more unique insight on this than really anyone else I can think of besides Tucker himself. What are you talking about?
I just think it's absolutely disgusting how Fox not only fired him, but is clearly determined to destroy him. It's not enough to fire the guy from his number one show that has made Fox millions of dollars. Now they've got to like rub his nose in it and make sure his audience knows he needs to be unwatchable. He's a terrible man. He's a pervert. We take your pick. There's a new article every day, which is clearly all being orchestrated by Fox News's PR department. But I can't blame the PR department because she wouldn't be doing that, Irina Briganti, who runs it, without orders from on high to take him down. You know, the main goal right now is to drive a wedge between Tucker and his audience so that they won't leave Fox News. They're hemorrhaging viewers at 8 p.m., hemorrhaging. Just give you one example. Last Tuesday, when Tucker was there, in the key advertising demo of 25 to 54-year-olds, he pulled, I think it was a 445, 445,000. Might have actually been even higher. This Tuesday, it was 145,000. I mean, the number of viewers who are tuning out, and in the overall, I think they lost 600,000 viewers. So the viewers are angry at 8 p.m. They've taken him away without an explanation, without any fairness to him. Every day they drop another hit piece on him. There's a clear threat that they have some oppo file they'll be leaking. What more could there be? They hit him every day. For what? What did he do again? Did he cost the company, you know, money? No, he wasn't behind the Dominion settlement. That wasn't a Tucker Carlson problem. That was other talent and executives. He won for them. He put points on the board. He made them relevant. He got them through the Trump era, which was a very tricky time in conservative media. And for that, he gets the boot, and they try to besmirch him in front of his wife, in front of his kids, in front of his audience, because they don't want the audience following him. It's disgusting.
Megan, this is the kind of thing that scares people because they like truth tellers. It's why your show is so popular. It's why Tucker's show is so popular. People are hungry for that now. And it seems like the gigantic media organizations are purging that. Am I imagining it? Because that's what it seems like. And if that's what it is, what does that mean for the future of people seeking out truth in some way?
There is an element of that. I know I, like everybody else, don't know what the real reason is behind Tucker's firing, but it seems like that's at least an element of it. And if you looked at Tucker's statement last night, where he didn't address any of this head on, that to me seems what he was trying to telegraph. You know, that you get in trouble in this country for telling the truth, but audiences respond, that we're now ruled by essentially one party, and that the elites who are in control will decide what can and cannot be discussed. And if you try to color outside of those lines, they shut you down. I mean, that to me seemed like he was trying to say Fox is part of that one party system. And while they try to masquerade as like, we've got your back, you know, we're going to tell the conservative side of the story, in truth, they're just as elite as anybody else and don't want certain cows being touched. And Tucker touched all the third rails. I mean, there was nothing he wouldn't do. There was no orthodoxy to which he subscribed, which is one of the reasons he was interesting and a threat. So in the era that is now anti-Trump, in Murdoch world, which is 100% the case, if you read the Journal, if you watch the Post, if you watch Fox, they've turned on Trump, they're over Trump, where Tucker, I wouldn't say he's pro-Trump, but he's definitely like pro-Trump's voters. He understands who they are and what's important to them, doesn't talk down to them, doesn't dismiss their worldview as just deplorable or not mentionable. He now may have outlived his usefulness,
And that too is absolutely disgusting because Trump is probably going to be the GOP nominee. And then what's Fox going to do?
Megan, in other much smaller news, Don Lemon is so out of a job that Rick Ross is offering him a job at Wingstop. Here he is.
Biggest boss in the game, Ricky Rose, just found out Don Lemon was terminated from CNN. Damn, Don. But guess what? The brothers got your back. We hiring it at Wingstop. And for some reason, I believe you know what you're doing with them lemon pepper wings. So, man, just send over your resume. Well, for 17 years. Damn. But I'm going to make sure I get you in front of the right grill, brother. Stay solid.
Okay, Wingstop is delicious. Two, Don Lemon's a piece of trash, and you've been talking about this for a long time. He's always been a piece of trash, but he's out because he's boring, Megan. If he had the number one show, he wouldn't be out. He's out because he sucks at television. He was only there because he's black and gay.
He's the worst. And when Jeff Zucker got the boot, his big boss, the first thing Don Lemon did was go on the air that night and remind everybody he's black and gay. He literally went on the air and was like, I'm black and I'm gay, just in case he forgot. I'm unfireable. And so he's just been, I would chalk it up to douchebaggery. That is the reason he's no longer on the air. Douchebaggery toward women, toward his other colleagues, toward his audience, toward the facts, toward half the country, also known as Republicans. He hates them. And this is a time where CNN is ostensibly trying to rein some more Republicans back on its air as guests and back at home watching CNN. And what is one of his first acts out of the box? It's to tell Vivek Ramaswamy, GOP presidential candidate, he doesn't get to have an opinion on American history because his skin, while brown, is not quite dark as Don's. That Don has a prior claim to all discussions about American history, African-American history, because he's black. So Vivek doesn't know anything about it because he's not dark enough. I mean, that just happened on the air right before he was fired. And yet you have people like Al Sharpton out there saying, we need an explanation. This is deeply wrong. Well, how could this possibly happen? Well, open your eyes because it's very clear to all of us how this happened.
It's crystal clear. All right, finally, Jerry Springer. Dead today, 79 years old. Used to watch that show with my friends when I was a kid. People chucking chairs and stuff. Do you have any thoughts on Springer?
I do. He came on my show right after we launched, and he was so great. He talked about his time in politics and, you know, just growing up in the industry and the crazy shows that he would do. But the part that I remember and that I'm remembering today in particular about Springer was he talked about being an immigrant and coming over here and doing the boat ride past the Statue of Liberty with, I think it was his mother. And he saw Lady Liberty. And if you've ever gone by the Statue of Liberty by boat, it is the most special experience. That is the way to see Lady Liberty. And he looked up at her as a kid and he said to his mom, you know, in German, Mama, what does that mean? What does she mean? And the mother said to him, one day, everything. Love that. He was a patriot. He loved this country. He was rough around the edges in a great way. And I'll miss him.
Yeah, that's a cool story. Megyn Kelly, you are the best.
Great to see you, brother.
Yeah. Revisionist COVID history. That's something you're seeing right now from a lot of different places. We're going to have a little chat about that next. Before we get to that, let's chat about your allergies. I know what time it is. You know what? Everyone knows it's springtime. You know how you know? It's not the pretty flowers and the sunshine. It's the fact that everyone's blowing their nose 19 times a day. I know. I get it. I've been there forever. Not anymore, though. I don't even own over-the-counter allergy medication anymore because I have Eden Pure thunderstorms everywhere. If I could, I'd walk around with one plugged into my chest. I have three in my house. I have three in the studio. It's not just that they kill viruses and mold in the air. It's not just that they'll make your home, office, wherever you plug it in, smell wonderful because it takes all the odor out of the air. Fixed my allergies, man. Three packs. They sell three packs, $200 off right now. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Code Jesse is how you get a three-pack, $200 off. EdenPureDeals.com. Code Jesse. We'll be back. You know what I think about sometimes?
I think about the things I know. And this is what I mean, the things I know. I'm watching right now, you're watching right now all the most horrible criminals in this country, the COVID communists, from Dr. Fauci to Randy Weingarten to all of them. You're watching all of them right now try to rehab their image and try to rewrite what they did. Trying to rewrite, I mean, Fauci's on TV, he's in the New York Times, I never shut down schools, I never closed down factories, Randy Weingarten, communist John Denver's testifying in front of Congress, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. And you know what hits me? And I was thinking about this last night, it's a little dark, but it hit me and it's hitting me hard. What if 100 years from now, when they look back on this time, what if people believe that? Because these people will all write books, right? These people will write books. These people will be defended by today's academics, by today's media, the people who will frame the truth for whatever it is. And 100 years from now, instead of people opening up books or watching videos or who knows, probably getting beamed into your head by then, but when they pick up a book 100 years from now and they look back on COVID, instead of looking at people like Randy Weingarten or Dr. Fauci as the subhuman monsters they are who should have been tried and thrown in prison, what if 100 years from now, because of all the revisionist history people are going through, what if 100 years from now, they're looked at as the heroes? The heroes who never shut anything down. They didn't think these masks should be part of it. What if that's true? And maybe right now you're saying to yourself, Jesse, there's no way. Everyone would remember. No, we remember now. We remember now. We remember idiots like Scott Gottlieb going on television and admitting that all that social distancing stuff, that they just made the whole freaking thing up.
The initial recommendation that the CDC brought to the White House, and I talk about this, was 10 feet. And a political appointee in the White House said, we can't recommend 10 feet. Nobody can measure 10 feet. It's inoperable. Society will shut down. So the compromise was around 6 feet.
They just made up some stuff and completely reordered American society. And think about this when it comes to all the things you and I know about history. How much do you hear me talk about history? Got a special on Teddy Roosevelt this week. But I love history. We talk about it all the time. You talk about it all the time. We enjoy it. Think about all the things we know or think we know. What if we've been lied to about virtually everything when it comes to who the bad guys were, who the good guys were? I think about this a lot now as I watch this happening. As I watch Randy Weingarten, communist John Denver, sit in front of Congress and talk like this.
I'm sorry, Congressman Raskin. We spent every day from February on trying to get schools open. We knew that remote education was not a substitute for opening schools, but we also knew that people had to be safe.
Trying to get schools open. Now you're laughing about that. Maybe you're throwing things at the TV. Maybe you're rolling your eyes. But in the future, 100 years from now, your kids, are they going to believe that? Are they? Are they going to forget? Or is society as a whole going to forget that in the face of a pandemic, if we're still calling it that, in the face of a pandemic, the head of the teachers' union coordinated with the Center for Disease Control on what the response should be?
I do not talk to representatives of the government.
Do you have a direct number to Director Walensky?
Do I have Director Walensky's direct number?
Yes.
Yes, I have Director Walensky's direct number.
Your Center for Disease Control, your nation, my nation, it's so broken that your Center for Disease Control will coordinate its pandemic response with the head of the teachers' union.
And speaking of the Center for Disease Control, 100 years from now, when they look back on the poison shot they tried to force, and in many cases successfully forced on so many people, 100 years from now, what will they say about it? What will they say about who pushed it, who was responsible for it? Here's Rochelle Walensky. Will she be a hero 100 years from now, or the villain she truly is? I don't know. Let's talk to Dr. Nicole Sapphire about some COVID and other things in a moment. Before we talk about that, you've seen the latest news about the economy. 1.1% growth. They're shocked, stunned, all these gigantic corporations from McDonald's to Walmart. They're all slashing jobs by the thousand. And you know why they're doing that, right? I know why. We all know why. They're preparing for a storm, a bad one, an economic storm, where the value of your dollar is going to continue to free fall and this economy plunges into a very deep recession, probably a long one. Are you ready? Have you made any preparations at all? Have you got gold and silver delivered to your home yet? Gold and silver coins in case the worst happens? Do you have gold or silver weaved into your retirement, or are you going to just allow these people to destroy everything you've worked your whole life for? Oxford Gold will handle all this for you. They're real straightforward. They're laid back. They're who I use. Call 833-995-GOLD, okay? We'll be back. Speaking of revisionist history, you catch this Fauci line? He's out there on TV in the New York Times saying things like, and I quote, "Show me a school that I shut down and show me a factory that I shut down. Never. I never did." Which, that's interesting to hear him say that now, because I feel like it was almost yesterday when he was saying things like this.
If you have a situation in which you don't have a real good control over an outbreak and you allow children to gather together, they likely will get infected. And if they get infected, the likelihood that they will bring the infection home. So that really is a risk.
Joining me now, Dr. Nicole Sapphire, board-certified radiologist and author of a book, That's What Family's For. I love brave books. Doctor, okay, my concern is this. You know that's a lie. I know that's a lie. But 50 years from now, 100 years from now, when the history books have been written, I'm worried these people are really going to get away with everything they've done.
You know, it's really interesting what we're seeing happening now. Imagine living in a world where you can influence policy that has devastating consequences to the entire population, not to mention our children, and you get away with it. And that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing that with the influence Dr. Fauci had, Randy Weingarten, the teachers union president. I mean, and now they're all of a sudden saying, I had nothing to do with this. You know, when Dr. Fauci said, show me one school I shut down, I find that to be, that's infuriating. And it's a slap in the face to all of us parents who are dealing with those school closures. No, you're right. He did not go and close those doors. He did not give the order for those schools to be closed, but it was his voice that influenced policy. And when he was saying that we can't congregate indoors, that influenced those school closures. And by the way, complacency, being silent on the issue, that is as big of a crime as any. So while he says he didn't close schools, he certainly did not speak up against them being closed either.
100% fact. All right, this is a question I need to ask you because of your profession. And from what I understand, you're married to a brain surgeon. So there's just all kinds of IQ over there. And I'm an idiot, so I don't have any of that. The medical profession itself, the way it conducted itself, obviously this isn't every doctor and nurse, but the stories I hear from doctors and nurses about the cruelty of so much of the medical industry during COVID, laughing at patients dying, scoffing at things, it really, I'll tell you, it's not something I can get out of my head, doctor. Does the medical industry have a serious problem?
well, the medical industry certainly has a serious problem, but it's not one problem. We have many, many problems. When it comes to COVID, those anecdotes that you're mentioning, I have seen some of that video where you see doctors and other healthcare personnel who are joking or making fun of patients. That's obviously a real problem. And people who feel that way about people probably shouldn't be in the healthcare industry, because we are a service industry and we are there to help people regardless of their faults, regardless of anything that has to do, you know, with how they live their life. We're there to help them. But one of the biggest issues that I took with was the groupthink mentality throughout COVID, and that you were not allowed to say anything that went, you know, against or maybe just teetered off course from what Dr. Fauci was saying. And that was very frustrating. You know, common sense went out the window. We knew about coronaviruses well before SARS-CoV-2 came into the United States. We knew that historically we hadn't been able to come up with a successful vaccine to stop transmission. Otherwise, we would have stopped the common cold years ago. And we also knew that with time, as viruses mutate, they tend to get less virulent, they tend to get less severe, and you do get some level of natural immunity. All of that is common sense when it comes to virology, especially coronaviruses, but you weren't allowed to have any of that independent thinking. And if you went off course from what was coming out of Dr. Fauci, then you were deemed a charlatan. And it was a really a slippery slope throughout COVID, working in an academic institution and also staying true to what my beliefs were.
Masks are one of these things that just make me want to strangle somebody, which is odd because that's pretty much what masks do. Fauci's talking about that now. Here's what he said.
Facilities, to hear that they only work at the margins, maybe 10%, would make a lot of people ask, okay, then why was I wearing a mask for so many times?
You know, Caitlin, we got to be careful, because if you read very carefully what I said, if you look at the broad public health effect, when you have masks that are so-called mandated or supposed to be worn, because so many people don't wear them, even though they're in an arena in which masks are supposed to be worn, or they don't wear them properly from a public health standpoint on the cohort of people, the effect can be only marginal. And as we mentioned, it was 10, 13% or so. But for the individual who religiously wears a properly fitted mask, the effect is much, much, much better than that.
You've been outspoken about masks. Go ahead, please.
I'm sorry. I thought he said he was retiring. Can he stop going on television? Because at this point, it's just infuriating people.
I'll never forget the kids in the masks. And that's what drove me crazy. I know you've seen it. I know you've been outspoken about it. I was as well. The masks were always stupid, some stupid piece of cloth. But setting that aside, what we did to children, the children with their learning loss, kids touching it all day, they're basically black by the end of the day, and somehow we're pretending like that's healthy. It was odd to me. It's still so odd and honestly creepy how much they demanded we suspend disbelief in this country of basic things that I didn't need to be a doctor to know the stupid mask is not helping my son do anything.
Well, that's right. And it's insulting when he says, well, the individual who's wearing a well-fitted N95 mask, you will see a reduction in viral transmission. Obviously, that is why in high-risk scenarios like certain hospital settings, you have N95 masks. But N95 masks is not you just go and get one off the street. You have to have it properly fitted. You have to have it tested. And for the majority of people who are out there wearing even an N95 mask, they weren't even wearing it properly. Then you have Dr. Fauci coming out there and saying, hey, you know what? Forget the high-grade surgical mask and the N95 mask. Just put a cloth mask over you, even a bandana. That's better than nothing. But there wasn't a viable benefit to those. But what there was were consequences. Two of my kids, my younger two kids, both had deleterious effects from wearing those cloth masks to school when they had to do that. One got gingivitis, and the other one developed a speech impediment. And it was because these are a formidable time of their lives. Children should not have been in masks. And again, while he didn't tell kids they had to wear masks, that's his saving grace. He continues to say, well, I didn't put them in the mask. He didn't speak out against it either. And therefore, he should be held accountable. He should not be getting any more air times because he has done more harm to this country than good at this point. And people need to stop seeing his face.
You have a book out. That's What Family's For. I love Brave books. What's this book about?
So this book I actually co-wrote with my son, Hudson. It is a beautifully illustrated book It is loosely based on some true stuff that happened in my family. But this is a family of five monkeys, and one of the little monkeys, Jeff, gets some bad news from a doctor. And through imagination, his family rallies around him and makes his what if I could list come through family and using their imagination. And the real message from this book, because we're in a very precarious time right now, where all of a sudden you're seeing parents being separated from their children. You have teachers, educators, other people who don't seem to want children to be influenced by their parents. But this book is all about the importance of the family unit. And regardless of what you're going through in your life, as long as your family is there by your side, maybe things won't be perfect anymore, but it'll certainly be better and more manageable. And this is just to remind kids and families all around that everything outside of the family unit is just noise. Where it's at is truly in the home.
Amen. Doctor, appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Did you know that your Department of Justice, my Department of Justice, they're now openly endorsing the medical mutilation of children? Do you know that? Julie Kelly's going to come on in a second and talk to us about that. Before we talk to Julie Kelly, let's talk about the craziness of the world. You see it. I don't need to tell you the world's going mad and we're losing our standing and food supplies are under attack. Are we prepared to say that yet? Whether it's incompetence or intentional, our food supply is in trouble. Do you have emergency food in your home? That's a basic necessity. You should have the ability to get clean water if it stops coming out of your faucet. You should have 3 months' worth of food, non-perishable food, for every person who lives in your home. Even FEMA will tell you that. My Patriot Supply, they have you covered. They have three-month food kits sitting there ready to go. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now because they're $200 off per kit. Everyone who lives in your home needs one. MyPatriotSupply.com. We'll be back. The DOJ is suing Tennessee. Your DOJ, my DOJ. What are they suing them about? Well, here's the quote from Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark. Quote, no person should be denied access to necessary medical care just because of their transgender status. The Justice Department will continue to aggressively challenge all forms of discrimination and unlawful barriers faced by the LGBTQI+ community. Joining me now, my friend Julie Kelly, author of the great book, January 6th. So, Julie, it's official DOJ policy now that the mutilation of children should be good to go.
Yes, and covered under the 14th Amendment, no less. So, you know, Jesse, I know we've talked about this for years. The weaponization, politicization of this Department of Justice would be funny. Things like that would actually be funny if it wasn't so dangerous and destructive. I mean, this is so beyond the pale, not just getting involved in states' rights, but now equating this to what, slavery? I mean, this is crazy talk. This won't be the first time I think that they pull something like this as states continue to protect children from being mutilated by insane parents and insane doctors. We can expect a lot more of this.
Golly. All right, we're switching gears here to Disney, Nikki Haley, the clip seen around the world, much to her detriment. Well, here it was.
If Disney would like to move their hundreds of thousands of jobs to South Carolina and bring the billions of dollars with them, I'll let them know. I'll be happy to meet them in South Carolina and introduce them to the governor and the legislature that would welcome it.
That's just the most Republican thing I've ever seen in my life, Julie. Bring me your tax dollars as long as you can groom as many children as you want. Just bring me your tax dollars.
Yeah, it's like someone, just fed into the establishment Republican ecosystem, like campaign advisors and donors, and said, hey, what's your perfect avatar candidate who will just spew out, you know, canards from 2000, maybe even before that? It's ridiculous. She is more out of touch than the rest of the out of touch establishment Republican candidates. And so she's really stepping in herself all over the place. But kudos to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis for putting up this fight and sustaining this fight against Disney and woke corporate culture.
The GOP in general, they are going to have a massive adjustment in their thinking about corporations, aren't they, Julie? They're still somehow under the impression that we have some kind of free market system. The corporations have declared war on us. We must do the same in return.
That's right. Everyone needs to free themselves from what we grew up with, right, as Republicans, that there really is a free market system, that corporations are working in the public's best interest, that they're protecting employees, they're protecting and representing their customers and clients. That is not the case. And it's Nikki Haley's way of thinking that for the past three decades allowed the left to hijack corporate America, to take over corporate boardrooms, to take over, more importantly, the marketing departments, like we saw with the Bud Light debacle, which was a rare victory for the right, I will say. So, you know, we do have to, as Republicans, move away from that line of thinking, because every corporation, like it or not, relies on not just the federal government for their own existence, but certainly the state government, local government, with tax subsidies, sweetheart deals, all sorts of benefits that they get. That's why they hire armies of lobbyists at the federal state level to make sure that they get their way and favorable treatment from the government. And of course, now Ron DeSantis has shown that that can easily work the other way.
Good, finally. Let's stick with the DOJ here. Proud Boys trial, you're all over this. You've been doing outstanding reporting on it. What's the latest and greatest?
Thank you. So you, after a four-month trial, you have five members of the Proud Boys charged with seditious conspiracy and other crimes. That went to the jury Tuesday afternoon. Closing arguments were Monday and Tuesday. Look, people, and thank you for not overlooking this trial, not just the egregious due process violations, the complete eradication of constitutional rights for these men, but this case is very consequential, Jesse. I'll have a piece up tonight on this. The outcome could very heavily weigh on Special Counsel Jack Smith's investigation into Donald Trump for January 6th. The opening clip that the government used in their closing arguments Monday was not of the Proud Boys. It was of Donald Trump's offhanded remark in the September 2020 presidential debate when he said, you remember, Proud Boys stand back and stand by. They use that as sort of a rallying cry, and they've really tagged Donald Trump with the Proud Boys' actions. So too did two of the defense attorneys, by the way, who blamed Donald Trump for their clients' actions. So convictions, especially on seditious conspiracy, will give Jack Smith the green light to pursue similar charges against Donald Trump.
Golly, you think? I agree with you, by the way, but you think Donald Trump's in significant legal trouble. I certainly do. They're not going to stop.
No. They're not going to stop. And of course, Jack Smith is not just investigating Trump's alleged role in January 6th, but the handling of classified documents. You could have, over the next 3 months, between the classified documents probe, the January 6th probe, and what's happening in Georgia, you could have an indictment a month now against Donald Trump leading up to the summer. His greatest legal peril, as you know, Jesse, though, is in Washington, D.C., because as you know, you've been covering my work. What these judges do, they're rubber stamps for the Department of Justice. There's no accountability. There's no oversight. There's no reprimanding the Department of Justice for overreach. So, you know, Jack Smith is already working with the grand jury and has been for months. I think his last witness will probably be former Vice President Mike Pence. After that's finished and the outcome of the Proud Boys trial, you can start waiting for grand jury indictments on one, possibly several criminal offenses against Donald Trump.
Yeah, Lee, it's crazy what's happened. All right, look, real quick, Ray Epps, he's not in hiding somewhere. He's on 60 Minutes.
Why didn't you stop to help this police officer who was knocked over?
When she was knocked down and I started to go towards her to help her up, and I saw a billy club over here in the corner of my eye, and I thought, you know, they're going to think I'm part of this. So I backed off.
You were part of it.
I was there. I wasn't a part of that, knocking her down.
And he wasn't part of the violence. There's a big difference there.
Julie, he wasn't part of it.
Sure, he wasn't part of it, except he was at the first breach point with Joe Biggs, one of the Proud Boys who has been in jail for 2+ years and now is on trial for seditious conspiracy. They both spoke with Ryan Samsel. So why is he not facing the same sort of conspiracy charges as Joe Biggs? Not only that, Jesse, Ray Epps' name came up in closing arguments. The chief prosecutor said any suggestions that Ray Epps is a government asset is a fantasy. This is coming directly from the same Department of Justice still rounding up grandmas from Indiana and Virginia and other states, charging them with misdemeanors. His face also appeared in a last-minute dirty trick by DOJ when they produced a video, very grainy and conclusive, that said one of the men had sprayed police officers. Ray Epps is standing right there at the police line. You can see him talking to police. You can see him at one point telling a police officer to stop. Like, stop attacking the crowd. He doesn't face a single charge. Furthermore, Jesse, he has not been called as a government witness. This guy was at the first breach point. He was there the night before. He was directing people to the Capitol. He was on restricted grounds for 90 minutes. Not only is he not charged, he hasn't been called as a witness in a single trial. And in the Proud Boys, when the defense wanted to subpoena him, the judge quashed the subpoena and would not allow his testimony.
Man, these dirty people. Julie Kelly, you're the best. Thank you. Come back soon.
You are. I will. Thanks, Jesse.
It's wild when you think about the trouble still coming for Trump and the trouble that's come for the January 6th protesters. So unjust, isn't it? Freaking horrible. Whatever. Hey, we got to be strong. We got to be ready for a future that looks a little different than the one we've known. Okay. Part of that, remember, a big part of that starts at home with yourself. You can't save the country if you can't save yourself. It's important that guys realize testosterone levels are in free fall. It's important, ladies, it's important all of us realize Big Pharma's not on your side. It's important people seek out natural solutions to problems and things that ail them. That's why I tell you about Chalk all the time. It's not just because they're my friends. It's not just because they are hardcore anti-communists. They have natural herbal supplements. They're fantastic. You get on a male vitality stack, fellas, just get ready. Ladies, a female vitality stack. And again, natural herbal supplements, 35% off. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse is how you get that 35% off. You have to get a subscription, though. Cancel it anytime if it doesn't work. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We have a light in the mood we're going to get in trouble for. Next. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. And before we... sorry. I'm having a hard time keeping a straight face. Before we get to lighten the mood, let's get to this. Something happened in the Kelly household today. It's happened before. I was snuggling with the dog, all right? Fred comes up to you, and he puts his head in your lap and kind of whimpers there until you start snuggling with the dog. So I started scratching right behind his ears and stuff like that, and I didn't know the wife was behind me in the kitchen, and I look over, and she's scowling at me, and she said, "You two need a minute," which wasn't very nice. But we love our dogs. You love your dog. I love mine. Give your dog something real, a longer life. A healthier life. That's what I want for my dog. It's what you want for yours. That's why I give Fred Rough Greens, man. Because the dog food, it's brown for a reason. It's dead. There's no nutrition in it. They kill everything in dog food. Pour Rough Greens, an all-natural nutritional supplement, on his dog food. Boom, he's got vitamins, minerals, probiotics, digestive enzymes. I'm going to keep snuggling with that idiot for a long time, thanks to Rough Greens. Free jumpstart trial bag for you. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. Free bag. Go check it out. Now, there's a podcast called the Whatever Podcast. I've never seen it. But they invite some interesting guests on and an interesting mix of the guests. And got a little clip here.
Hi, I'm Kiko. I'm 23. I go to UCSB and I also bartend.
Pichang
I'll see you tomorrow.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.